Let's all stand up. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace, for your kindness. Thank you, Father, for the power of God, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. We believe that not only is Jesus alive, but because He lives, we live. Because He was resurrected, we have resurrection life working on the inside of us. And Father, we count it a privilege to be your children. We count it a privilege to have a covenant with you, a covenant that is secured by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for the wisdom of God, Lord, that you give us through your word. Lord, as we look to your word, Father, we thank you for opening our hearts, our minds, our ears. We thank you for giving us understanding. We thank you for illumination this morning into all that you have revealed. And Father, we thank you for it. We give you praise for it. Thank you for touching the lives of your people, blessing them, strengthening them, healing them. Thank you, Father, for meeting every need in every life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Again, thank you for faithfully supporting your church. And thank you, Pastor Jan, for allowing us to benefit from that. I'm going to be talking with you today, as I said, from a book that we have at the publisher right now. It's called Lift. And the subtitle is Experiencing the Elevated Life. How many of you know that God did not plan for us to live our life beat down? But He planned for us to live our life raised up. The Bible says that we were raised together with Christ and we've been made to sit together with Him in heavenly places. So the resurrection isn't just something that applies to Jesus. The resurrection is something that applies to us. And what I want to do, now I know that in probably every church in America, unless somebody was just on a real special series or something, 2 weeks ago, every church in America, if they believe the Bible, was probably saying something about the resurrection of Jesus. How many of you thought about the resurrection of Jesus a couple weeks ago? And what I want to do is I want to pick up the theme of resurrection, but I want to talk about it not just from the standpoint of the event that happened, but I want to talk about everything that the event of the resurrection unleashed into our lives and into our future. So what I'd like to do is I need a couple of I don't want to say guinea pigs because that's not a good word, but I need a couple of object lessons. And Lonnie, you just look like you just kind of, why don't you come up? Would you come up here and help me out? Give Lonnie a hand right here. And you get to be Jesus in this illustration.
Rightly so.
You get to be Jesus. Yeah, he thinks that's a good choice. And is this Brother Michael right here? Brother Michael, come on up here. Brother Michael's going to be at the other end of the spectrum. Come on up here. Come on up here. Brother Michael is going to be another resurrection. He's going to be the future resurrection of believers. How many of you know we're going to get resurrected in the future? We're going to get brand new bodies. Now, does this look like a glorified body to you? You look pretty awesome. All right. Very good. But these two guys, Lonnie and Michael, thank you for helping me out. These guys are going to represent resurrection past. That's the resurrection of who? Jesus, he got resurrected in the past, historically, 2,000 years ago. And at some point in the future, I don't know when, but at some point in the future, because Jesus was raised in the past, he basically set into motion a chain of events. He's the prototype for a future resurrection of all of us. There's resurrection past, resurrection future, and if you guys just don't mind hanging out with me for a couple minutes, I'm going to talk a little bit in Luke chapter 23, and let me tell you why the resurrection is important. How many of you know that Christianity isn't the only set of beliefs in the world that claims to communicate something about truth? there's other groups, there's other faiths, there's other religions. And how many of you know we love everybody? You know, we're not anti anybody. We're not against anybody. We believe that God loves everybody so much that he sent Jesus. But it's just practically true that all the different systems can't be true because they have conflicting, contradictory statements about who is God and who are we and, you know, what's the nature of sin or, you know, if a belief even acknowledges sin, you know, what's the future that they have different conflicting claims. And so we're not here to be ugly or anti anybody or anything, but, you know, we have embraced the Bible as the truth of God revealing himself to us. And so if we were having a discussion with people from another belief system, you know, they could say, for example, they could say, oh, your founder gave you a holy book. And they could say, well, our founder gave us a holy book. And then they could say, your founder has a large following. Well, our founder has a large following. And they could say, the followers of your faith meet in buildings and worship and things like that. Well, the followers of our faith meet in buildings and worship. So they could be claiming equivalency on all those issues. But there comes a point in time where we can say, yes, all that may be true, but our founder was raised from the dead. And at that point, everything goes into a different perspective because that's the uniqueness of the claim of the Bible, the Word of God, is that our founder, the Lord Jesus Christ, was raised from the dead. And so Lonnie here is representing Jesus. So we're just going to talk about, you know, a little bit about what happened when Jesus was physically raised from the dead. Luke chapter 23, verse 36. The Bible says, then Jesus stood in the midst of them and said, peace to you. Well, you understand, these are people who had just seen Jesus brutally beaten and crucified, dead and buried a few days before. Now, if you saw somebody dead and buried and a few days later they're standing in front of you, they might need to say peace to you because you might tend to be a little bit, you know, messed up by that. So Jesus says, peace to you, but they, even though they were terrified and frightened, and they supposed that they had seen a spirit or a ghost. And Jesus said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. Notice what Jesus said, that it is I myself. My hands and my feet. Jesus, what is he pointing out? That he's not a ghost. That this is not just kind of spiritual, mystical. This is a physical, material resurrection. Jesus says, look at my hands, my feet. It is I, myself. And he said, handle and see me, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy, now they're beginning to be overwhelmed with joy that Jesus has been raised from the dead, and they marveled, Jesus said to them, and we've heard this at church often, do you have any food here? And they, yeah, chicken. No, it says, so they gave him a piece of broiled fish. Jesus was not into sushi. They gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And what did Jesus do? He ate it. He wanted to make sure that we could never look back and doubt the authenticity of his physical, everybody say physical. His physical resurrection. And he took it and he ate it in their presence. Listen, friend, the truth and the reality and the wonder of Christianity is not that Jesus lived and died. The truth and the reality of Christianity is that Jesus died and now he lives. And not only does he live, but he said, I am the one who was dead. I am alive, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Did you know that Jesus doesn't pop out of the grave every Easter and then pop back in and wait until the next year only to pop out again? Listen, this is not Groundhog Day. The groundhog may pop out every Groundhog Day, but Jesus doesn't pop out of the grave every Easter. Jesus came out of the grave once, and he's alive forevermore. We may celebrate it every year, but Jesus is not popping in and out, alive and dead, alive and dead, alive and dead. No, Jesus was dead. Behold, he is alive forevermore, and he is alive in what kind of a body? He's alive in a physical body. It's a resurrected, glorified body. But Jesus said, look, touch me, handle me. He said to Thomas later, he said, put your hand in my side, give me something to eat. You know, and ever since then, Christians can't get together without eating stuff. All right? Just have to have something to eat. So anyway, but that's the resurrection past. Now, here's my concern, and this is why I wrote that book I'm talking about. The reason I wrote that book is because for so many Christians, resurrection is simply a historical fact, period. They don't think of it as being much more than a historical fact. Resurrection is a historical fact, but it's much more than that. There's also a future, because Jesus was raised from the dead. There's something that's going to happen to all of us. Now, Brother Michael here represents all of us at some point in the future. And I want us to look at a verse in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. It says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That's a metaphorical use for death. Not everybody's going to die physically, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead, those who have died, will be raised. And how will they be raised? Incorruptible. Something spiritual, something supernatural is going to happen to all those molecules that made up their body. And they're going to be raised incorruptible. And we, meaning those who don't face physical death, but because Jesus comes back before we die, we shall be what? Changed. And it goes on to say in verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Don't do what I did at a funeral. Pastor Jan, I don't know if you ever did this, but I was doing a graveside service. And here we are, family. We're under that little tent that they put up, and there's the casket. And, you know, we're getting ready to commit their body to the grave. And I'm reading this passage, and I said, and this mortal shall put on immorality. And as soon as I said that, I thought, no, I tried to play it cool. I'm just not going to, because if you draw attention to it, then, and so I just keep reading. And but I'm thinking, I wonder how many people caught that. And I just look up real quickly from my notes, and there's one guy at the back who's just doing that. So I know one person caught it. No, this mortal shall put on immortality. Now, can I tell you something about kind of the preaching of the New Testament when the Apostle Paul was preaching? He was preaching often to Gentile audiences. They were of Greek background, Greek culture, Greek philosophy. And the craziest thing in the world to the Greeks was the idea of a physical body being resurrected. Now, the Jews had long believed in the resurrection, but to the Greeks, they thought the body is just an evil prison. And man, just the sooner, you know, if you can just get rid of this body, then you're going to be free. And the body was an evil prison to many people in the Greek culture. And so when Paul taught Jesus and the resurrection, it was kind of like, why would anybody want to be resurrected? Now, they believed in what many people believe in today. They believed in the immortality of the soul. We believe in the immortality of the soul, but we also believe, and this is a distinctive of the Christian faith, we believe in the resurrection of the body. Because we don't believe that our bodies are evil. We don't believe, like many of the Gnostics used to believe in the ancient world, that anything spiritual was good and anything material is bad. We believe, according to the Bible, that God made everything, and He made everything spiritual, material, and it's all for God. It's all for His glory. So it's no surprise to us that God, who created us spirit, soul, and body, would redeem us spirit, soul, and body, and that we would spend eternity as a whole person, not a fragmented person. You know, we do understand that right now when a Christian dies, you know, the Bible says that to depart, meaning to depart the body and be with Christ, is far better. We understand that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We understand that right now, when people's bodies are in the grave, a Christian departs and is with Christ. But that's not the ultimate eternal situation. Jesus is going to come back. The resurrected physical Jesus is going to come back. Those who have died their bodies will be raised incorruptible and immortal. We shall be changed. This mortal shall put on immortality. This corruptible shall put on incorruption. And the Bible says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. See, you don't need to think bad about your body. Your body is not an evil prison. Guys, you can go ahead and be seated. Thank you. Didn't they do a good job? Jesus and the future resurrection. Good job, Lonnie and Michael. Thank you, guys. But let's talk a little bit. What does the Bible say about your body? The Greeks believed that the body was just an evil prison to get out of. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible tells us in the New Testament that our bodies are to be presented to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. We are to present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. The Bible says that we are to present our members, the physical members of our body, as instruments of righteousness to God. That's back in Romans 6. The other was in Romans 12. You know, people, if you ask somebody, well, tell me about the body. Is the body good or is the body evil? Is the body good or is the body evil? And I would kind of approach that from a practical standpoint, not so much a theological standpoint, but you know, from a practical standpoint, the goodness or the evilness of your body depends on what you do with it. Take your hand, for example. You can take your hand and go punch somebody in the face, and your hand became an instrument of evil. You can take your hand and go into the convenience store and shoplift something, and your hand has become an instrument of evil. On the other hand, you can take your hand and lay it on the sick in the name of Jesus and speak healing, and your body has become an instrument of good. You could find somebody who fell down and reach and pick them up, and your hand has become an instrument of good. The Bible says we are to present our bodies to God a living sacrifice, and we are to present our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You can take your tongue and you can cuss, or you can gossip, or you can lie about somebody, but you can take that same tongue and you can praise and worship God, or you can speak words of comfort, hope, and edification. Practically speaking, the goodness or the evilness of your body depends on what you do with it. That's why the Bible says that we are to present our bodies to God, a living sacrifice. Jesus was raised from the dead physically because God wanted us to understand that our bodies matter. Yes, our spiritual nature matters, you know, much to God. Our mind is very important, but every part of who we are is important to God. And that's why all of us, we're going to be resurrected physically, just like Jesus was resurrected. You know, the Bible also tells us not only that we are to present our bodies to God, a living sacrifice, but the Bible teaches us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's something I heard as a young child sitting in a mainline denominational church. And I don't know, I think God was speaking to my heart as a very young child, because I heard that as a young child, that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when I went into high school, that helped me say no to some things. That I realize my body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. I should not desecrate my body with, you know, certain substances and certain behaviors. What I do with my body matters to God. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible also says that our body is a vessel. We think of a ship as being a vessel that carries, you know, cargo. Well, the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Our bodies are important. Our bodies are what give us the license to connect with a physical world. Our bodies are important to God. So I want us to look at a verse in John chapter 11. Here's one of my kind of arguments in the book, is that I believe many Christians think of resurrection as simply a historical event. If Christians think a little bit more, they will realize that resurrection is also a future event. But here's the point. I'm not living in the past. I'm not living in the future. I'm living in the right now. So if I'm living in the right now, is resurrection simply something in my past and in my future? Or how does resurrection affect me today, right here, right now, a couple thousand years away from the resurrection past? And we don't know how far off in the future resurrection future might be. But what about resurrection life now? John chapter 11, in verse 23, Jesus has shown up what appears to be late, because Lazarus has already died. And they were hoping Jesus would show up, but he didn't show up. And finally, 4 days after Lazarus died, Jesus shows up and he says to Martha, Jesus said to her, John 11:23, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the what? At the last day. Notice, he will rise again. That's future, at the resurrection in the last day. So Martha had good theology for a Jewish individual based on the scripture. She knew there was coming. Isaiah talked about it. Daniel talked about it. Different Old Testament prophets. Job even talked about it, that there would be a resurrection of bodies at the last day. Now, Jesus did not say, no, that's wrong. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Now, Jesus introduced a very, very radical concept here. He was not denying the fact that there would be a future resurrection. But he said something very unique. He said the resurrection is not just an event. The resurrection is also a person. Jesus is the resurrection. Do you think he's still the resurrection today? And I'm concerned that Christians only think about resurrection being an event, they do not think about resurrection being a person. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you have a relationship with Jesus right now? Let me see your hand. You have a relationship. Do you know the Bible says that Christ is in you? You remember what Paul said in Colossians? Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Bible says greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. If we have a relationship with Jesus, and we can also point out the fact that, you know, it's the Holy Spirit, Christ is in us in the person of the Holy Spirit, that Christ is the resurrection. So the resurrection is not simply a future event that I'm waiting for. The resurrection is also a person who lives in me now. Can he be releasing any resurrection power while I'm waiting for the resurrection? Now, I understand, you know, the Bible makes it clear. It's appointed unto man once to die, and unless Jesus comes back in what we call the resurrection or the rapture, our bodies are physically going to die. But the Bible says that when he comes back, some people are still going to be living. We're not all going to die or sleep. Some of us are just going to be changed in that moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ will be raised, and we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will be caught up together with them. We're going to go through that perhaps without facing death. But here's the point. I believe there's still some resurrection power flowing even before the resurrection. Does the name Fukushima mean anything to you? Fukushima. What's Fukushima? The big disaster that happened in, I think Fukushima was either the name of the town or the nuclear plant in Japan. And a few years ago, there was an earthquake and a tidal wave, and the nuclear plant got flooded with salt water, and one of the reactors melted down, and it began releasing radioactivity into the atmosphere and into the ocean. You know, it was a big disaster, and, you know, huge areas had to be evacuated, populations had to be evacuated and all. Did you know that they are finding traces of radioactive material on the west coast here of the United States? It has come, that radioactivity. Now, I know nothing about nuclear science, so if I'm saying some of this wrong, forgive me, because this is not my expertise, but they're finding trace, they say very, very small elements of radioactivity on the west coast of the United States that has come all the way across the ocean, the Pacific, from Japan. Now, here's the thing. You have, now, of course, that was a negative, disastrous type of event, but even though that happened, I think it was 2011, here, 6 years later, there's still power being released that's come all this distance. There was an event, but then there was a process. When Jesus was raised from the dead, now, of course, it wasn't negative, and it was disastrous to the devil, but there was an event when Jesus was raised from the dead. But here's my contention. 2,000 years later, resurrection power is still flowing. And it's still evident. You know, what do they have, a Geiger counter? Pastor Jan, is that they test? You know, I wish they had a resurrection device. And they would run it over. Yep, there's resurrection power all over this one. This one has been fully affected by it. See, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And so that power that raised Jesus from the dead is supposed to be working in and influencing us in the here and the now. I want you to look in your Bibles, if you have them, over to Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Bible. I don't know if they're able to project the Amplified here or not. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul says in the Amplified Bible, for my determined purpose is that I may know him. How many of you want to know Jesus? For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. Doesn't that sound like a wonderful ambition for every believer? I want to know Jesus more and more. How many of you believe that you know Jesus more this year than you did last year? Because hopefully we're learning all the time, growing all the time. And this is not talking just simply about knowledge in terms of intellectual facts. This is talking about knowledge that is personal and intimate and relational and experiential. That Paul's saying, I want to know Jesus more and more. But then he goes on to say something else, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection. So just like you can know Jesus personally and experientially more and more, more closely and more intimately, you can personally and experientially know the power of his resurrection. The power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers. And that I may in the same way so share in his sufferings. And he goes on to talk about that. How many of you know that there are some things that Jesus died to, said no to, that we need to die to also? And then he goes on to say in verse 11, that if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead even while in the body. Now, the regular, you're looking at it there, the New King James says, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Do you know, if Paul here is talking about that future resurrection, this doesn't make sense. Do you know why? Because everybody, sinner and saint, righteous and unrighteous, everybody's going to get resurrected. Did you know that? Do you know that not just Christians are getting resurrected? Now, we get to be resurrected and then be with the Lord. But the Bible also teaches that the unrighteous will be resurrected and then cut off from God forever. So it's not a question of whether we're going to attain to a physical resurrection. Everybody's going to get physically resurrected, whether they believe in God or not. Now, they don't all have the same destination, but everybody's going to experience resurrection. But the Amplified translates this, that if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead even while I'm in my body. Amen. To me, that is an amazing statement. How many Christians believe in the resurrection as an event, but are not really living in resurrection power right now? Stop and think, what would a spiritual and moral resurrection look like? Well, he said it's something that lifts us out from among the dead even while we're still in our body. Did you ever hear some of the old time preachers say, you know, because preachers would talk about how wonderful heaven would be, but then they'd say, you know what? But I want a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in. I want a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in. What they're saying is that all of God's blessings are not reserved until heaven. Yes, there is a place called heaven that is wonderful, but I want a little bit of heaven. You know, heavenly nature, heavenly joy, heavenly... I want just a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in. And I think we can say the same thing based on what Paul is teaching here. I want a little bit of resurrection life while I'm awaiting the ultimate resurrection. Yeah. Paul said there is a spiritual and a moral resurrection that lifts us out from among the dead even while we're still in our bodies. Well, just stop and think about that. What would it look like? Did you know it's possible for a Christian to have an un-Christian attitude? You didn't know that? You did know that. What would happen if when at some point, because I'm sure this happened like 20 years ago for you, when your attitude got bad, you're grumbling or complaining or negative or whatever, what would happen if some resurrection life gave you a lift in your attitude? What if our attitude got a little bit of resurrection life in it? You know, resurrection is when God touches anything that is dead or dying and brings it back to life. What about a Christian who is losing hope? What about a Christian who is getting discouraged? What about a Christian who is getting in the flesh and getting resentful toward people and getting bitter toward people? What if they had a spiritual and moral resurrection that lifted them out from among the dead? Because see, a Christian can have an attitude that is dead just like the world. They can be critical just like the world. They can be hopeless just like the world. But see, we get some resurrection while we're waiting for the resurrection. No, it's not the full dose that's going to give us brand new glorified bodies, but it's enough to give us a spiritual and moral resurrection to lift us out from among the dead even while we're still in our bodies. Now notice what Paul says here in the next verse, verse 12. He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. How many of you know there's more resurrection life to walk in than what we've ever walked in? Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting, everybody say forgetting, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the what? The upward call. Upward call. That Christians, there's a call up. That there's a call to an elevated life, a higher life. God said, my ways are not your ways and your thoughts are not my thoughts, God said, because as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than yours and my thoughts are higher than yours. And see, God, there's an upward call because God's calling us up to His level. And in order to get to His level, we need a lift. We need a resurrection infusion that lifts us out from among the dead even while we're in our bodies. Now see, we have this tendency to want to put everything off till heaven. And I don't want to short sell heaven. Heaven's going to be wonderful. But we need a little bit of heaven. A little bit of heaven while we're waiting for heaven. And you understand, I'm using that kind of as a figure of speech. And we need some resurrection life while we're waiting for the ultimate resurrection. And Paul said he's pressing toward. He said, I've not achieved it yet. I've not attained it yet. See, you show me a Christian that says, you know what? I've gone as high as a person can go. I've achieved the pinnacle of spirituality. I mean, on the maturity meter, I mean, I've maxed it out. You know, that person is the most deceived person in the world. Paul said, I haven't achieved it yet. I haven't attained it yet. There's a spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts us out from among the dead even while we're still in our bodies, and I haven't achieved it yet to its fullness, and I'm pressing on that I'm forgetting the past. I'm reaching forward to attain to this upward call. we still have room to grow. We still have room to increase. We still have room to elevate. There's higher levels of love. There's higher levels of hospitality. There's higher levels of maturity. There's higher levels of generosity. There's higher levels of authority. No matter how far we've come in God, no matter how much we've grown in God, there is still an upward call, a spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts us out from among the dead. Real quickly, Romans 6:4. Romans 6:4. This is going to be a verse that you've heard. How many of you have been baptized here in water? You've been immersed, baptized in water? And Pastor Jan, is this the baptistry right over here? How many of you are baptized in this baptistry over here? Man, a good number of you. So I assume this just pulls up and I don't know, is there water in there now? Is there really? Okay. No water in there now. Okay, good. So if I fall through, I'm staying dry. All right. So when you were baptized here, Pastor Jan, do you typically dunk them? Are you the one that does that? When Pastor Jan dunked you, there were two important parts. Number one is when he put you under the water. But number two is when he brought you up out of the water. You never want to get baptized by somebody that only believes in half baptism. Could just put you under and hold you. That's not good. I want you to tell me, you who've been baptized, when Pastor Jan took you and dunked you under the water, what did that represent? Death. That was a grave. That was symbolic of you having died with Christ and having been buried with Christ. You were identifying yourself with Christ. But, and thank God for a good pastor because he brought you up out of the water. What did that represent? That represented coming up out of the grave. That represented resurrection. Now look at Romans 6:4. It says, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the, what? By the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Now, when you got baptized, when Pastor Jan took you under the water, that was an event, right? When Pastor Jan brought you up out of the water, that was an event, right? Your baptism was an event. But the event was to initiate a process. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. See, identifying with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection launches us into a lifestyle, into a life journey that is based on the glory of the Father giving us new life and enabling us to walk. Everybody say walk. Walk in the newness of life. See, the resurrection is not just an event that happened. It initiates a process, a resurrection lifestyle. See, Jesus didn't call you to a religious life. Jesus has called us to a resurrection life. That His power, just like the Fukushima radiation is still, you know, in the atmosphere and in the waters and so on and can spread, I want you to know the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, even though there was a resurrection event 2,000 years ago when Jesus was raised from the dead, the power of that resurrection is still at work in the life of the believer. It's still available. Now, I'll close with this verse, and then we're going to pick up here tonight. Look at Romans chapter 8, just a few verses, a chapter or two later. Romans 8, 11. Romans 8, 11. It says, but if, everybody say if. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Now, how many of you know that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? And the Bible, what was that verse we quoted earlier from Corinthians? Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are the temple. Don't leave your body out of the equation. Don't just think that God only cares about your spirit and soul. God cares about your body. We're a package deal. Okay, I know that in physical death there's a period of separation, but that's just, you know, eternally everything's going to be reunited. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Not your dead bodies. Your mortal bodies. Now, in the resurrection, the Spirit of God is going to give life to your dead body. But you know what? While we're here and alive right now, the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in us now. And so He gives life. He gives life to our mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Now, you will find some theologians who say, well, that's a reference to the future physical resurrection of bodies. There are some scholars who believe that. But there are many scholars who say, you know, yeah, there is a future resurrection of bodies, but that's not what this is talking about. How many of you have heard of John Calvin? If I was raised Presbyterian, if you were raised Reformed, Presbyterian, Baptist, you know, most of their theology came from John Calvin. John Calvin did not believe that Romans 8:11 referred to the final resurrection. But he said it referred to the continued working of the Spirit by which He helps us to gradually mortify the deeds of the body and renews in us spiritual heavenly life in the here and the now. I tend to agree with that. That the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in us now. And yes, it is true. There is coming that time in the future when we're going to get brand new glorified bodies. But these passages are talking about a working of the Spirit in the here and the now. Philippians 3, a spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts us out from among the dead even while we're in our bodies. And according to Romans 8:11, the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us now. And He quickens our mortal bodies even now by the Spirit who dwells in us. So I'm wanting you to know there's more to resurrection than just a past event and a future event. There's a current, ongoing, progressive work of resurrection life that is in the life of the believer now, enabling us to walk in newness of life. And we can look to resurrection power to help us with everything. You know, I'll close with this story. Brother Hagin, when he had just been healed and raised up off the bed of sickness, he had been paralyzed for 16 months or 18 months, one of the two. I think it was 18. But anyway, you know, during that time, everything atrophied. He looked just like a skeleton. He you know, just no muscle tone. And it was depression days, but you know, everybody needed to do what they could to make ends meet. And he, even though he had just recently been healed, he still was very weak. He got a job at a nursery. I don't mean one with children, I mean one with trees. And his job was to go out with a bunch of other young men, and they had to pull up by the roots 2-year-old peach trees. I think it was peach trees. And he said that, you know, man, it was hot. Texas summer, it was hot. And he said, you know, these different ones would be passing out and they'd quit. And I think he made $1 a day. Was it a dollar a day or a week? Dollar a day, okay. And but he said every day he'd go up and he'd feel like, man, I can't do this. But he'd say, the Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is the strength of my life. And he said all these young, bulky kids, you know, who are strong and all that, they'd be passing out, they'd quit. And every day they'd say, well, we didn't think you'd be back. We thought you'd quit. And he'd say, the Lord is the strength of my life. And he said when he'd go out there that he would, you know, at first he said, I felt so weak. I felt like I wouldn't have the strength. But he'd say, the Lord is the strength of my life. And he said about the time he started on the first tree, he said maybe sometimes on the second, he said he would sense something hit him in the top of his head and go down his body. And he said, I'd work like a Trojan all day long. See, there is some resurrection power quickening his mortal body. But what if we could get some resurrection life quickening our marriages, raising our marriages from death to life, or our attitudes from death to life, or, you know, hopes that we've had destroyed and we've given up hope? What if resurrection power could begin to hit our hope and reinvigorate, bring back to life things that had died? I'm telling you, God is a life-giving God. He is a resurrecting God. Jesus is a resurrected Savior. And there's a popular song out today that says, the resurrected one is resurrecting me. Let's all stand up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you that this is a resurrection body of believers. Lord, that we are resurrection people. Lord, we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we believe there's a power flowing from that resurrection 2,000 years ago that, just like we sing, the blood has never lost its power. Father, we declare the resurrection has never lost its power. And Father, we're not just working from a resurrection in the past, but we're anticipating a resurrection in the future. And Father, we just believe that we're a resurrection people and that we have resurrection life in us now, quickening our mortal bodies and giving us spiritual and moral resurrection even while we're in these bodies. And Father, I just thank you for quickening bodies today, healing bodies today by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, resurrecting marriages. Lord, just giving people hope where they've been discouraged, strengthening people where they need strength, peace where they need peace, joy where they need joy. Father, we just want to thank you for it in Jesus' name. And Father, I want to pray right now that if there are people here that do not know you, Lord, I thank you so much that you died so that we could have eternal life. Jesus, you died so that we could be forgiven. And just with every head bowed and every eye closed before we dismiss, I never like to close a service without making sure that everybody has made Jesus the Lord of your life. I'm not just talking about, you know, mentally believing in God. Can I tell you, the Bible says the devil mentally believes in God. But what the Bible talks about with faith is so much more than that. It's a trust. It's a relying upon. It's a surrendering your life to. It's putting all of your faith in Him. Because you see, we understand that the Bible says we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. So everybody needs forgiveness. Everybody needs acceptance. And that's why Jesus died on the cross. And I just wonder how many people here would say, Tony, I have never surrendered my life to Jesus. I've never put all of my faith, all of my trust in Him. And I want to do that today. Or maybe you would say, Tony, I gave my life to God at one time, but man, I've been out, I've been doing my own thing, I've been running away from God, and I need to radically rededicate my life to Jesus today. On either of those invitations, I want to lead us in a prayer here in just a minute. But I just wonder how many people would say, Tony, I do need, I even sense the Holy Spirit pulling on my heart. I need to give my life to Jesus today. I need to put all of my faith, all of my trust in Him. I need to surrender my life to Him. Or you'd say, I need to rededicate my life. I've been away from God and I need to come back to Him today. On any of those invitations, if you need that today, let me see your hand. Slip your hand up all over this place and hold your hand up real high. Let me see that that's you. That you mean that with Jesus. Thank you. I see your hand right there. Are there others with uplifted hand that would say, Tony, pray for me. I need to give my life to Jesus today. Thank you, sir. There's a hand. There's a hand as well. Thank you so much. Are there others that want to join these three and jump in on this prayer? Here's what I want us to do. I want everybody in this place right now to say this with me from your heart. Say, Dear God, I come to you right now and I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that He is the one that you sent to die for all of our sins so that all of us could be forgiven, could be accepted, could become the children of God. And Jesus, I believe that you were raised from the dead. And I accept you now as my Lord. I surrender my life completely to you. I put my trust entirely in you. And I commit my life to you. Help me to live for you and to follow you all the days of my life. I ask you to help me in all this as I serve you and glorify you. Thank you that I am forgiven and that I am a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, Pastor Jan is going to give you some directions in a minute. I want you to go ahead and be seated. Pastor Jan is going to come. He can give you directions in just a minute. But Pastor Jan, God bless you. Thank you so much.